night went into a crowd and exploded, injuring four spectators. From the St. George News Radio Weather Center, sunny and 101 today, clear and breezy tonight, 67, sunny and 90 tomorrow. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
At last, the Constitution is finished. But if a super-duper big tragedy happens, this entire document goes out the window. Said no founding father ever. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The truth hurts, doesn't it, Habsburg? Oh, sure. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts.
Hi there. Oh, Naked Gun. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Leslie Nielsen, love it. Welcome back. Welcome to the show, katedalyradio.com, Facebook, The Kate Daly Show, and also on, we're on iTunes, we're on everything, SoundCloud, you name it. Go to katedalyradio.com for all the podcasts. We have short podcasts, too, that you can share, and I invite you to do so. In fact, we have Chris Ann Hall, the constitutional expert and attorney, along with Uncle Milty on the program right now, and I couldn't be happier. It's always a breath of fresh air that she does the Chris Ann show. And I'm just excited that you're here.
I am excited to be here, as I always am. And it's always happy. It always makes me happy to hear Uncle Milty as well. Yes. And, you know, I got to meet Uncle Milty, which was very exciting, too.
Yes, of course. Yes. And we're just grateful for all the speaking you do around the country. And yes. If you want to learn about the Constitution, she's your gal. Let me tell you. Let's talk Supreme Court. This is right up your alley. And as an attorney, it blows my mind sometimes what the Supreme Court does and what they say. And I'm sure you probably have the same sentiment.
Oh, you know, it is absolutely stunning to me that the Supreme Court has been able to garner the reputation that they have throughout time, given the relative and absolute insanity that has dictated some of their opinions. Seriously, how does the society conclude that a rotating body of nine black-robed kings and queens mm-hmm. have the ultimate unchallengeable, unquestionable authority to determine the very value of human life, to define humanity? I mean, that's what it is. Think about Roe v. Wade. Isn't that exactly mm-hmm. what the Supreme Court did with defining humanity?
Yep.
And so it's just, it is absolutely stunning to me that this is how it goes. And every session, they do something just as fundamentally and phenomenally idiocy, you know, mm-hmm. proving their idiocy. And they have really gone beyond the standard this term. I mean, I've spent... JC and I have spent the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, out of the last five shows, at least three of them talking about the Supreme Court stupidity. And I think that this one that we talked about today, I even titled the show Mental Illness Grips the Supreme Court, because this case, It just reaches right out there into clinical insanity. And this is the case called Gamble v. U.S. Now, mm-hmm. the background is this case. Mr. Gamble is pulled over by law enforcement for a broken headlight. Mm-hmm. And as the officer approaches him for this vehicle check because of his broken headlight, the officer says he smells the odor of marijuana, which by law gives him probable cause to search the vehicle. So now he searches the vehicle, and in the vehicle he finds a firearm, mm-hmm. which now he finds out that Mr. Gamble is a convicted felon. So Mr. Gamble is charged with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon by his state. Mm-hmm. Well, the federal government gets wind of this, turns around, and charges Mr. Gamble with the very same offense. Right? So the same offense in time, same crime, only this time it's federal violation of possession of firearm by a convicted felon.
Jeez.
Now, we have this really, really crazy clause in the Fifth Amendment that's commonly called the Double Jeopardy Clause, mm-hmm. which says that no person shall be tried for the same offense in different courts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the thing. You know what? We have one traffic stop, mm-hmm. one broken headlight, one firearm, one police report, one person, one crime of violation of possession of firearm by a convicted felon.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court says, oh, no, that's not double jeopardy for the federal government to prosecute for the very same crime, because the federal government is a different sovereign body. So a different sovereign body can prosecute you for the exact same point in time just because they're different, which is, you know, JC yeah. is my co-host. JC is my co-host, and his background is psychology. He just ties up. He says, that's insane.
Yeah.
If you told your shrink that this is how I see things, so your shrink says to you, okay, you're standing at a street corner and there's an accident in front of you, mm-hmm. and you see the accident. How many accidents have happened? Just one. Okay, what if there's two people watching, two different people watching the same accident?
Mm-hmm.
How many accidents have occurred? Well, now there's two. Why are there two? Because you have two different people viewing the accident.
It's true.
So if you have four different people viewing the accident, you have four different accidents.
Great point.
And that's exactly what the Supreme Court is saying. You have the exact same offense with the exact same person, and the Supreme Court says, oh, well, there's two different governments, so now we have two different offenses, so now it's not double jeopardy.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I know people have wondered why and how this happens. They do this with commerce, the Commerce Clause, a lot in trying to get federal charges. And there seems to be no bounds, in fact, even retrying a federal case. I mean, it's just, it's endless. People go through 10, 20 years of being hunted down by these people.
Well,
for another
thing,
trial.
Kate, it's just, it was a 7-2 opinion. Only two Supreme Court justices dissented from this insane logic.
Who?
So Alito wrote this insanity.
Mm-hmm.
We have everybody else, including Thomas, agreeing with this. The only two dissenters were Ginsburg and Gorsuch.
Really?
And by the way, Gorsuch writes an amazing dissent again. I have a hard time really throwing my support behind anybody, but I'm having a hard time not throwing my support behind Gorsuch. And when you have when Ginsburg, only two Supreme Court justices actually support liberty, the rights of the people, and the Constitution, and one of those is Ginsburg, you have a problem in America.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
Howdy.
Usually she's always on the other side.
Or as I say on the show, the ghost of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
The ghost. The ghost. Go ahead.
Apparently whoever's writing these opinions yeah. for Ginsburg is more akin to Gorsuch and the Constitution, because this is now the second opinion where Gorsuch and Ginsburg line up in the same time. I should say Ginsburg lines up with Gorsuch and the Constitution.
Mm.
This is the second time this term.
Okay.
So now, Chrisanne, based on this opinion, what recourse do defendants have now in this situation?
Well, in this situation, what you really need is a state government that understands that they are an essential check and balance, that the whole purpose the state exists, as the Declaration of Independence says, is to secure the blessings of liberty and to guard the rights of the people. And in that, you have to have a state government. In the very least, you have to have a sheriff that recognizes this is absolutely clinically insane and will physically stand up and guard the citizens of their state and say, look, you physically prevent the U.S. Marshal from executing any warrants. You physically protect your citizens from having to go to any kind of federal court. You physically protect the citizens from any kind of enforcement by the federal government. Now, that sounds radical to a bunch of people who have been lied to for 150 years, but that's exactly how it's supposed to work. Because the federal government is not a kingdom, it's not a ruling body, and it's not supposed to be able to exercise this kind of unlimited tyrannical authority. I mean, Gorsuch, in his opinion, describes the Supreme Court's assertion and the defense of federal government as being literal tyranny.
Wow.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. This is truly amazing that they actually cited on the other side of this. You're right.
Well, what's crazy is they, you know, the Mr. Gamble actually, his attorneys brought in the full history of due process, the full history of the Double Jeopardy Clause. I mean, tracing it back to common law and the adoption, and they quoted the ratification debates on how the Double Jeopardy Clause was to be meant. And the Supreme Court, Alito, okay, let me just say this. Alito wrote, and Thomas agreed, that what our founders said when they were writing the Constitution is irrelevant. What's really important is what the Supreme Court has said after 1845. And then, Kate, they took a point in history as if, you know, well, they're going to argue the founders, so we're going to argue the founders too. And they make the most ridiculous, I almost said another word, I don't know if it's allowed on your radio show.
Probably
or
not.
But the most, pardon me?
Probably not. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's not a bad word. It sort of starts off that way. But anyway, the most ridiculous rendition of history. So Alito writes, well, our founders must not have been opposed to the federal government charging people for the same crime as the state. Because after all, the Declaration of Independence talks about how the British government wouldn't allow us to prosecute the soldiers in the British Army for the Boston Massacre. So they must have been opposed to this kind of double jeopardy because the foreign government of the British government was not allowed. We were opposing the foreign government of the British government opposing the prosecution of our courts for their people, right? So the assertion is this, that America, pre-1776, was a separate country from Great Britain, and that the Declaration of Independence was the people who wrote the Declaration of Independence were mad because we weren't allowed to prosecute British people, ignoring the fact that we were actually British.
And on that stunning piece, thank you, Chris Ann. Check out the Chris Ann Hall Show. Oh, my gosh.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
The devil cheated me, took me for a ride. Packed me in his limousine, drove me to the other side. The devil cheated me, what a hell of a ride. He showed me good times, he showed me fun. He said, you can have all of this, son. All for nothing, all for free. Just sign your name on this dotted line for me.
Welcome back to Kate Daly Show. Big thank you to Chris Ann Hall, the Chris Ann Hall Show. You gotta listen to it. I love the common sense that she brings and the learning of the Constitution in the most simplest form. And that's what we've been missing all along in this country, is really understanding who has what kind of authority, and calling them on the use of authority when they don't have it. Can you read Gorsuch's last statement? Because like Chris Ann said, this was a beautiful, amazing piece of work that Gorsuch, when he was writing his...
Yes. Gorsuch closed his dissenting opinion writing this. When governments may unleash all their might in multiple prosecutions against an individual, exhausting themselves only when those who hold the reins of power are content with the result. It is the poor and the weak, the unpopular and controversial, who suffer first, and there is nothing to stop them from being the last.
Wow.
Boy, that's powerful.
No truer words. He's right. And what happened to Kavanaugh on this?
Yeah,
he actually voted for the feds to provide them with annihilating double jeopardy and saying that they get to prosecute you. And I love the fact, I love the way she talked about this too, as now it's two car accidents, right?
Yeah.
It was one. If there's two witnesses, now it's two car accidents, three car accidents if there's three witnesses, because it's endless. And then they can come back if they still don't like their decision. They can come back again.
If you think about it, really think about it, this opinion says that if the city charges you with a crime and doesn't convict you, then the county can charge you. And if they don't convict you, then the state can charge you. And if they don't convict you, then the feds can charge you. And if they don't convict you, then the UN's court can
charge you. Yeah, or the feds can charge you again because they can come up with it again, which we've seen multiple times. We've seen them try to do it. We've seen them do it. And they keep coming back for more. It's anti-constitution. It's and when we say civil liberty, this is what we're talking. We're not talking about a cell phone. We're talking about this: the right for the state to also use your taxpayer money to go after you again and again and again, and also take all of your money so that you cannot fight a fair battle in court, as they say that they need to take all those assets from you and either store them or just take them, and annihilating any opportunity you have to get better than a public offender.
Yes.
Yeah. Clearly put you at a disadvantage, which is, I think, criminal, and then they can prosecute you endless amount of times till they get the desired answer. This is exactly why the feds, state prosecutors, have a 97 or 98 percentile of win. Because they can keep coming after. And they have all the money in the world to do it. And it's so criminal. These individuals are, I actually don't call them very American. I actually think they're anti-American because they know exactly what they're doing. And they know exactly that they can heave the weight of the state, of the feds, in their favor. And they can also make it impossible, hardly really impossible, for you to fight. And people are going to jail all the time that are that shouldn't be there. And it's disgraceful in this country.
Well, the federal government does have an undue advantage. When a general like Michael Flynn surrenders, you know there's something wrong.
I know. Yeah, I will agree. There was also a Supreme Court ruling on the cross. Remember the cross that we covered?
That was a good case.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because we talked about the fact that they were trying to say that this it couldn't be on the piece of property that it was, right?
Yeah, the cross was on a divider in the middle of a street that at one time was private property, but when they wanted to make a divided road out of it, the state bought the property and then made that divider in the middle of the road. So now that's public property.
Right.
So the atheist ruled that they don't like seeing that cross. It's a big memorial. It's a World War I memorial, and it's in the shape of a cross. They sued. They lost. They sued. It went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled that the cross can stay. And what they said was that the symbol... It's really a narrow ruling, and I lost it. I hate it when that happens.
So defenders were saying the cross was in Bladensburg. That was a suburb, right? The court concluded that nearly 100-year-old memorial's presence on a grassy highway median doesn't violate the Constitution's prohibition on the government favoring one religion over others. And so seven of the court's nine justices sided with the cross backers, a lineup that crossed ideological lines. it isn't about favoring one religion or the other. It was about making laws about having a state religion, is what that's about. So anyway, it was just kind of for an odd reasoning, I guess.
No, it was the right decision the wrong reason.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
because
say.
Because the Constitution doesn't say a separation.
No.
Prohibition. Mm-hmm. It says they can't create a law saying this is the state religion.
Right.
That's all it says.
This clearly had no violation of at all. There wasn't. It shouldn't have even gone as far as it did, is the point. So then Supreme Court comes back and they're like, yeah, well, we shouldn't favor one religion over the other. But this doesn't fit that. I'm sorry, what? what does that have to do with anything? Because that's not what that's about. That's not what the Constitution's about. It's not about favoring. It was about making a religion, kind of like the Church of England before we came to this country. So you had to. Your child was born into it. They did not get a choice. And so that their reasoning was really strange.
Yes, it was. But
it was a good decision. It was just strange.
Justice Gorsuch and Justice Thomas both said they would have thrown the lawsuit out altogether.
Thank you. See what I'm saying? Gorsuch has been great. What's going on with Kavanaugh, though? That's kind of...
Gorsuch actually wrote that people offended by religious displays should not be able to sue over them.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Gorsuch.
That's right.
He's actually been pretty good.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. He said, in a large and diverse country, offense can be easily found.
Yeah, and offense is not a civil right to whether you've been offended or not.
No.
Offense has nothing to do with anything except your feeling, which feelings are feelings, which, you can't go sue over a feeling or being offended.
Yeah.
Like that. And on the other side of the coin, if it was something I didn't agree with, I'd have to let it stand too, which we've seen a lot of, and we've had to deal with it, haven't we? It's kind of like getting a president you don't like. You just deal with it. And so on that same note, if it was, Satan land, I would have to put up with that.
And that's it.
So, it would be vile, but it's odd that some of the decisions that they're coming to and why. I can't even believe the annihilation of double jeopardy, or at least trying to do that through their opinion. And like we've always said, it's just an opinion. It's not a ruling. And they need to be challenged on that again. If they'll take the case, they need to be challenged for their opinion. But I think, like she said, the states now have to take it into their own hands. The feds are pretty out of control. It's ridiculous. And see, the Supreme Court justices are hired, right? They are not elected by the people. And that's why they have the good behavior clause. If they can't understand the Constitution or they can't come to decisions that represent the Constitution, I would consider that bad behavior. And so they need to be tossed. Whereas a president... It actually outlines in the Constitution, I was just talking to Chris Ann Hall about this, what the stipulations are to throw a president out. And there are very clear stipulations, crimes that are committed, that treason and high crimes, they call them, things that have to be done in order to, you can't just get a president out because of good behavior. They're elected by the people. And if we did that, that would give Congress complete control over the president. But we do have control over the Supreme Court. We just don't exercise it. Why is that? Why do we not exercise it? We've had plenty of judges that should have been out a long time ago, even due to age, even due to aging. Why are we not a people that feels like, why do they always get the say in staying? Why? It's as if we are oblivious to the fact that you can actually pull them off the court,
mm-hmm.
right? Or at least I thought. At least I thought so.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi there. I'm going to reveal my ignorance here and ask a question. Why is it that the Supreme Court gets to decide which cases they hear and which they don't?
It's a great question. Thank you for that. I'll pull you off the air, but thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure why. So I guess we're both ignorant to that on the ones that they want to take on. There have been precedents in a lot of cases, and I'm not quite sure if the facts of the new case are so that they could actually justify taking on a case that they possibly think doesn't adhere to the precedents, I guess. And the sad part is that our precedences, their prior court decisions, weigh in so heavily to the new cases. And a case like this, where the double jeopardy is completely annihilated, it has to be wrong. We have to be able to go back and look at another case for this. This is ridiculous. But I don't put all my vested interest or authority into the Supreme Court either.
There is
these decisions. Go ahead.
There's a really good answer if you want to really know the answer to that, because there's a whole list of procedures that the Supreme Court goes through to decide whether or not they have the right to take a case.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to litigationfindlaw.com, you can see the entire procedure from trial to the Supreme Court.
And a lot of it has to do with precedents, they've weighed in on before.
Yeah, and for the Supreme Court to hear a case, there has to be a federal law involved. It can't be a total state case. So there's a lot to it, actually.
Or they like to take a state case and make it federal.
No, it actually, yeah, but it actually has to have federal law involved in the case, or they don't have any jurisdiction.
Yeah, but like in the abortion one, you know, that was a Texas case. That was a Texas case, but they inserted themselves into that because that was in the state of Texas. Should she be able to do that? She actually claimed rape, and then when that didn't pan out for her, she wanted the right to do it.
Yeah, but
in
Texas, they claim that the federal law that was involved was Roe v. Wade.
Yeah,
which is not a federal law, but that's what everybody thinks.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's why we didn't, and we got Roe v. Wade. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
That was one of the best skits from Saturday Night Live when they still had a sense of humor and they weren't politically driven.
Oh.
Saturday Night Live, remember? The good old days. Anyway, more cowbell. So anyway, welcome back to the Kate Daly Show, and I appreciate you listening in. I will take your calls, 888-673-1450. We're live. This is one of the few shows you can actually call up and talk on. So 888-673-1450. Happy to have you. Go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts, The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter, and then also we're on iTunes and SoundCloud and everything else. You can get those podcasts and those short podcasts too to share, the easy listening ones where they're just super short. And you can get those on katedalyradio.com. You just go to that page and scroll down. Uncle Milty's with me, and we were just talking about the Supreme Court. Oftentimes their decisions are politically driven, but who exactly chooses this? Who chooses the cases that actually they consider?
You know, but the way the procedure reads, it actually turns out that it looks like the clerks for the justices.
Right.
They do all the paperwork. They sift through everything. They write recommendations. They summarize everything for the justices. and then they send their recommendation. Right. The judge, the justices make the final decision based on what the clerks tell them.
Right. And so how do they take a case like Roe versus Wade, for instance? That's a state case. That was a state of Texas case. So what they did was that what revolved around them pretty much stating that it was privacy, a right to privacy issue, and that's how you could involve the Supreme Court, even though it really was a case about murder. It was a case about, can I murder this baby? But they turned it into the right to privacy, and then that's what turned it federal. So I'm going to have to go out on a limb and say a lot of the decisions come about because of political reasons of the time, and then they can turn the case in. If you can if you can take that case and turn it into right to privacy federally, then I'm sure you could do that with a lot of cases.
Sure.
So, yeah, and so it became the right to privacy because of the case before in another state, I think it was Connecticut, that was talking about the right to privacy of inside of a marriage to contraception. So they talked about that being privacy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there's that too. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, mind if I talk a little bit about what happened up in Kearns and maybe about the school district? And it kind of pertains to what you're talking about anyway, but it was some students up there that burned that gay flag, and now the school district has decided, even though it wasn't done on school property, they've decided that they're going to discipline those students. The Supreme Court has says it's okay to burn an American flag, but now they're going to punish those students who burned a gay flag by disciplining them somehow. Jeez. I think it's okay to burn an American flag, but a gay flag we can't.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Hutchins, Terry was on the morning show, and he brought up the fact that they were disciplining some students who had said some racial remarks. The police department decided it wasn't against the law, but the school district down here has decided they're going to punish, even though it wasn't done on school property.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's
it is. It's great. This is a countrywide thing right now.
Yep, it is.
Where the pride flag, I can't believe we celebrate pride. Pride in your sexual preference. Anyway, the pride flag is more important now than any other flag.
Yep.
And believe me, I'm horrified as well. I'm horrified. I do not think they should make any laws about the American flag, though. And so I probably differ in that because this is supposed to be America.
That's
We're
right.
supposed to live in a land where that is not controlled by the government. But to then pick and choose which flag you're gonna serve up some consequences for, that is where the problem lies to me.
Exactly. How do you say, well, this is America, and based on your First Amendment rights, you have the right to burn the American flag. But don't you dare burn the gay pride flag.
In fact, there was a girl, and I forgot what state it was. She was putting up posters of scripture that countered the pride celebration our public school system is doing across the nation. And she was served up consequences for that. And so why is that? Why are we allowing if you're going to do one side, do the other? Why not? Shouldn't we have the freedom of speech? If you have the freedom of speech to then walk around with your pride flag, you should have the freedom of speech to walk around with a poster that's contrary to the pride flag. Why are both sides not showcased? And I would dare any liberal to call up and tell me why both sides can't be represented there.
You know, this is also a case. This is the second case we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, where the incident happened off of school grounds, and yet the school decided to take action.
There's a lot of this going on right now. It's as if, I say this facetiously, it's as if the public school departments, the superintendents on down, have decided that your kid is their property.
Yep.
So if they post something on social media at night in your home, then they have something to do with it now. They can weigh in on it now. Also, if your kid a couple streets over is in a drug deal, if there's a shooting that occurs, they'll include that in the stats for a school shooting. Even though it happened at 5 o'clock and wasn't even near the school, or at least near it but not even on school property, they'll still include it in the stats and weigh in on that as well. If a kid takes a picture and it's racist in any form at all, which I thought I lived in America, you can be a racist if you want to be. But anyway, I digress. So if you take a photo and you're under the age of 18 or under, actually, and you are going to a public school, then that school can weigh in on not only notifying police to help come take care of you for your racial photo, but also they can actually heave on consequences throughout the school district for your kid, too, for taking a photo like that, even though the photo was taken at like 9 o'clock at night in your home. So where they got permission to do this, where they got the wherewithal to exceed their boundary. And this is exactly the problem mm-hmm. with government. It's consistently granting itself authority. And the Supreme Court has done it. And you watch the public education system do it. This is such a problem. And it's not getting fixed. It's like that tagline I have coming into the show. The government's broken and completely corrupt. Great, let's grow it. That's the mentality right now. So we think that government's going to come in to solve government. And that won't happen. You have to get rid of the overreach. We have to get rid of it. Yep. There's no other way other than call them out on this and get the people agitated enough to understand that they have had liberties taken from them when these people exceed the boundaries of their authority. What do you say to that?
Oh.
Jeez Louise. Yeah.
There are so many things wrong.
I know.
With our judicial system, mm-hmm. with our Congress, with our state governments.
Yeah.
It's understandable why people are kind of frozen, like deer in the headlight mm-hmm. kind of. What do you do first? Local.
Yeah, local.
Do local first.
Yeah, the problems with local. The problems with your local school district and its overreach. And then you get to the state school district and their overreach. And just like with the courts, you know, we have such a problem with our judicial system. It's not even funny. And we've seen it go awry for so long that even when people get jury duty, they go, oh, I don't want to do jury. How do I get out of this? We need more people that will involve themselves in jury duty so they can be part of these decisions, weigh in on these decisions that Amen. Are being made, because we have a lot of prosecutors that are going among, outside of their boundaries. And so if that's the case, this is where we can weigh in as a people still. The courts themselves don't get to decide. In most cases, we do. But we shy away from the very opportunity and one of the only opportunities we have, for nullification. We shy away. Why? Why do we become so uninterested, in that? I don't know. But this is, again, a nationwide problem that we have. So,
That subject just... I've
know,
always wanted
me.
To be on a jury, and I've never been picked.
Really? Yeah. It gets. I can't imagine why.
No, they don't know who you are when they're
imagine.
Picking you.
There was also something that I actually want to leave with you on reparations. Maybe we'll talk about it when we come right back on the next hour, if you'd like to. But they're going over all the reparations thing. Cory Booker is singing this song like no other. Biden's been commenting on it, and Biden just looks like a lunatic. So they're actually trying to go to bat on this, and Cory Booker's out there going, well, we want this to happen now. Why not? And it's foolish. It's very interesting to see them fight over this. They were doing so yesterday. I played a comment from that. But I want you to listen to this comment, hat tip to Susan. I want you to listen to this comment, because this comment came by way. And just listen to what this person is saying, and I want to know if you agree or disagree, because this is a very interesting comment. As an older black man, I lived under 25 years of Jim Crow. Joe Biden does not scare me. Why? Because the issue of Jim Crow was dying and nearly dead in the 1960s. What people do not know is Jim Crow was the impetus for black business, which was the true black power. The white Northern socialist Democrats knew it, and they didn't want blacks to become too independent. We had our own businesses throughout the South because of segregation. We had our own schools that were taught by black teachers who were not progressives. These teachers were not going by the narrative, but who loved the U.S., and most were like my father and mother. They had master's degrees. They taught black children how to properly use the English language, how to read at a higher level than the average Southern white, respect and cherish the United States Constitution. But that all changed in the early to mid-1960s when the Northern socialists obfuscated took over for the younger liberals and blacks, the civil rights movement, and supported the Irish mobster, JFK, and then the modern slave owner, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Am I a defender of segregation? No. But I was never a big believer in integration because it destroyed black schools and, more importantly, black-owned business, the real black power that he had. That's a pretty loaded comment. What do you think about that? What did you think about that when you heard that?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so accurate, though. Once again,
they're not talked about. Yep.
No. And there are many, many blacks in this country that believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, this is like nonsense.
Right.
The blaming things on history,
mm-hmm,
when there's so many things that have happened contrary to that,
right,
example of history.
Right.
I mean, there's been so much more done to try to help the black race in the United States over the years than, mm-hmm, we ever did to hurt them.
So reparations, that's really what those reparations are about, right?
Yes.
But here's the deal. When I read this, this is what I was thinking. Segregation and integration by government force is never the way.
No.
If somebody wants to get together on their own and have a school dedicated to their own, whether it be color, whether it be anything, why is the government intruding on that? If like-minded people want to get together, and I don't care whatever the common denominator is, why is that bad? Why is that bad? Why are we forcing either one of those things? Because when the government gets involved and enforces one of those things, that's where it goes heinously wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that time that the people were against the United Negro College Fund, mm-hmm, and the government had to step in and protect it? No, I don't remember that happening.
Right. This is it's an interesting comment, I have to say, because it really makes you think about the government intrusion factor. What we're really talking about here, because there's a lot of narratives in history that we have come to think are factual.
And they're not.
And we know this because this is what we do on the show every day. And this is so against the narrative. This is against the narrative, and you won't find a lot of people talking about this today on the radio, I'm sure, or ever. But this is a very interesting point of view that I feel is an honest point of view. And I feel like we have to kind of open our minds a little bit to really kind of understand our history better than we ever have before, because it will annihilate these people like Cory Booker, who are obviously for the wrong thing. They don't even understand why they're doing what they're doing.
No, they don't. Booker said, we as a nation must address these, mm-hmm, persistent inequalities. It's about time we find common ground and common purpose to deal with this ugly history. How about the truth?
What inequalities today? I'm sorry, I didn't get this memo. What inequalities today? My gosh. I thought having a half black president was actually going to solve this riddle for everybody, but I guess it hasn't. And so here we are again. Here we are again at all of the, you know, the problems, and that we're not equal and fair. And oh my gosh, I don't even know how to solve that for the people who want to live inside that victimhood anymore. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Let's talk Iran too when we come back, and we will take your calls. Be right back.